Before we get going, I want to take a moment to tell you about something really exciting for high school sports fans across the country. SB Live Sports has launched a free iPhone and Android app featuring the latest high school sports news here in Washington and across the country. With the SB Live Sports app, it's now even easier to follow your favorite team and tailor your experience to your interests. With real-time scores and news alerts, as well as video highlights, podcasts, photo galleries, rankings, game coverage, and much more, the app delivers on the content you want in one convenient place. The SB Live Sports app features exclusive content from on-the-ground reporters across the country, and it's the number one source for Washington high school sports fans, with coverage from reporters Todd Millis, myself, Andy Bueller, as well as SB Live's preeminent basketball mind and recruiting expert Dan Dickow. The SB Live Sports app is available at no charge in the Apple App Store and Google Play Store. Download it today. The SB Live Washington Podcast, your weekly conversation about high school sports across the Evergreen State and the people who play them. I'm Andy Bueller, reporter with SB Live. We've got an exciting show lined up today. Stellicum standout DJ Fryer joins us ahead of one of the marquee games in the state in this condensed spring football season. That's Stellicum Tumwater. It's a 2A state title rematch. DJ Fryer is coming up, but with me now first, it's SB Live's preeminent basketball mind and the host of the ISO podcast, coming to you 5 days a week for the month of March. It's Dan Dickow. And SB Live's senior reporter, the prodigal son of Tacoma, and the man with many hats and nobody's pal, Todd Millis. Gents, spring football is in full swing. March Madness upon us. High school basketball has the green light. How we doing?
Things are good, and they're getting better. I mean, if we're able to talk about football actually being played, and it sounds like it's being played at a higher level now than it was in week one or maybe week two, because teams are able to kind of get some rhythm and gel and get in shape. That's great. And NCAA tournament, you can never complain with this stretch. And now there's a clear path, a direction for high school basketball. So I'm looking forward to everything that's going on in the world of sports right now.
Dan, if you're the preeminent basketball mind at Scorebook Live Washington and the up-and-coming TV broadcaster for college basketball, are you also the preeminent COVID test taker at Scorebook Live as well?
Yeah, unfortunately, I've had to take a few tests now to be cleared to call games. I actually had to do one to get on the plane tomorrow to head back to the Final Four in the NCAA tournament in Indianapolis, and as soon as I land, I have to take another one as well. So NCAA is taking tons of precautions to make sure everyone that's involved to a certain extent. I think I'm considered tier three, but I still have to test. So yeah, I've got a lot of tests that have happened in the last 2 weeks after not having a COVID test for about a year.
Well, the NCAA tournament's back for the first time in 2 years, which is a great sign that the sports world is healing and that we're seeing a little light here. And on last week's show, we talked about how the WIA was optimistic there'd be a spectator increase and the state would move to phase three later this month. And Dan, you foreshadowed the governor was making an announcement. Well, guess what? That announcement came on Thursday. The state will be moving to phase three on Monday, March 22nd. Sports that were held up from recurring or from returning because of their high risk designation, like basketball and wrestling, now have the green light to do so in these season two, season three condensed schedules at the end of this school year. Both outdoor and indoor as well, stadiums and gyms will increase capacity as of Thursday, March 18th to, I believe it's up to 25%, though there's some red tape there. But for a governor whose COVID response and state reopening plan has been cautious and relative to many other states especially, this signals that we're inching in the right direction in this pandemic. So phase three, let's do this. What's your guys' reaction to the news, and what are you hearing from coaches and players?
Well, it's about time we've kind of moving forward I mean, you look at it, 45 different states played high school basketball this year in some form or another, whether maybe it's a condensed season or something, but 45 other states played. The fact that Washington was so cautious is very frustrating to me as a sports fan, as a parent. I'm not discrediting the seriousness of COVID in any way, shape, or form, because I know it's impacted a lot of people. But I'm grateful that we are finally past a lot of the nonsense and we can start allowing our high school kids to play sports.
Andy, I know you've talked to a few boys basketball coaches after that news hit last week. I didn't even have to reach out to girls basketball coaches. They were going to call me. They were so excited. I talked to a coach in Spokane, a couple coaches up north. You could just hear, it was a lot like when basketball was going to be season one and they were up first and they were getting ready. They were sort of gearing to get the gyms open and whatnot. You could kind of hear the excitement in their voice then. And then obviously they did the reversal to season three. But that news certainly brought the excitement back, the hope, the optimism back with the girls basketball coaches. I know they're scrambling to start making schedules. And let's not forget wrestling in this too. Wrestling is a big deal in this state. Matt Classic at the Tacoma Dome is one of the biggest WIAA state championships around. And having talked to a couple wrestling coaches, they're actually taking this in stride and having a little fun with it. I mean, they don't get to wrestle in the spring. I've talked to a couple coaches that have the idea that they're going to take one of their dual matches out on the football field. Why not have a dual match under the lights, put a few mats down, hold one of your key showdowns with a league opponent at the football stadium, and have the guy in the press box announce things. So they're going to have fun with it. I think we're going to actually see that idea come to fruition. So again, two sports that needed this break, deserved this break. And like Dan said, we've been waiting a long time for this kind of news. Glad to see that those two sports are back on track.
Well, Todd, if that happens, I expect you to be there to document it and cover it. That would be definitely a sight to see. You know, as these sports start to return, they're also coaches are starting to kind of learn, what are these, all these rules we're going to have to deal with? How are we going to get back into the gym safely? And there was something at we've obviously talked about return to play a lot and all those the guidelines set down by the NFHS, by the Department of Health, by the governor's office and the WIA. But in football, it hasn't been a rosy season for everybody. Last week, defending 4A state football champ Camas shut down practices and quarantined for a little over a week after as many as 16 students came down with COVID, some of them football players, and was believed to be spread at an offsite party. And this was first reported by Meg Walknick of the Columbian. This week, Camas athletic director Rory Oster told me that around 10 rostered kids, probably all starters, are out for a game this Friday at Kelso. And Camas is certainly not the only team that's had to deal with positive cases. Shadle Park has canceled a game this week. And there's, the list goes on. And ever since that story, though, was broken by the Columbian about Camas, football coaches across the state have sort of used it as a cautionary tale because it was linked to something off campus of, hey, let's protect this season. It's something we heard from coaches in Idaho in the fall about their players saying like, hey, our players are taking this really seriously. And all it takes is one slip up for us to potentially lose games. Did you guys see this? And if so, what did you think?
Yeah, I did see it, and I think that's one of the things that we touched on in a podcast we had a couple months ago is, with the fact that things are opening back up and then there was going to be, an enhanced kind of scrutiny of different things that were going to happen. It was going to be a chance for, football programs to really help each other buy into what needs to happen to get a season off the ground. You really focused in on it with some of your work with Idaho stories and football in the fall and kind of detailed out what a lot of those coaches' thoughts were. I don't know enough of the background story on what was going on with Camas, but it's unfortunate. And it kind of, lets you see that, as much progress as has been made. You know, because of the guidelines that are still out there and the protocols that have to be followed, things can kind of still kind of go sideways pretty quickly.
I the first thing I thought about Andy when I heard the story was Jake Blair, a senior who missed the second half of last year with an injury, was very supportive of that team as they went on to win a state championship. As you documented on our site in the off season, was the guy that was organizing a lot of the workouts in the garage, getting ready for this season. You know, not a huge senior class. They graduated, obviously, a lot of seniors last year. Again, a guy that's willing to help kind of bridge the gap between, you know, last year's state championship team and the future of this program. And I do stress, this is a program. John Eagle is one of the most widely respected coaches in the state. To see teammates go down that road, I can't help to think that Jake Blair was probably pretty angry, pretty disappointed in that, you know, after their first game. I can't help to think that what those conversations were with him and teammates after this news broke. That's kind of where my thinking was, is, you know, a guy like that's a program guy has to deal with that stuff. And hopefully this is, you know, this, like you said, this is a lesson that people have talked about around the state. We've heard it at games, be careful. Best of luck to Jake Blair, a guy that I think we've all grown to like and respect as he moves forward here in the last few weeks of his high school career.
One of the things that was a silver lining in sort of the contact tracing of all this with the campus administration was what their AD told me, that they had traced every case to off-campus events. And so that means that they had kids who were positive but asymptomatic within their practice settings. And they were overcautious and shut down practice as a whole, but no cases were contracted or spread in a practice setting, which shows, I mean, it's just another example that these rules, these strict rules, you know, they may be different from what you expect if you're a high school coach, if you're a high school player, but they do work. They are effective. There's a reason that they're there. And basketball coaches and players are, and wrestling as well, and sports that are going to start up in this next season are going to start to figure that out too. The men's and women's NCAA tournaments start this week. As we mentioned at the top, Dan, you're headed to the men's. And if you go to the site, scorebooklive.com/Washington, or you go to the SB Live Sports app, which if you like listening to us, you should download. Todd and I have put together lists on the high school connections from Washington and ties to the men's and women's tournament, players, coaches, and there's a lot of them. So, Dan, since you're covering the men's tournament, I want to ask you what your favorite Washington High School connection or storyline is. And Todd, how about you for the women's? Let's start with you, Dan.
I got a couple nice connection points, and I'll stay away from Gonzaga because I know I talked on Kispert last week. Ja'Cory McLaughlin from UCSB, started his career at Oregon State. Maybe was more heralded than Malachi Flynn in high school, but now Flynn's in the NBA. Ja'Cory, I thought, had a lot of potential at Oregon State. Things just didn't work out for him there. He transferred to UC Santa Barbara. He was a Big West Player of the Year. He's put together a tremendous career, and he's got them in the NCAA tournament. So it'll be interesting to see how he plays. I think he's, a guy that will get a look at the next level. And if he doesn't make it here, he'll have a nice career in Europe with his skill set and size. But he's one. The other one I'm looking for is a guy that you touched on that story you talked about a second ago, Andy, is assistant coach at UNC Greensboro, Kyle Bankhead. They play Florida State, which is going to be a tall task for them. But Kyle's kind of bounced around as a coach after playing a little bit in Europe. He is kind of a part of a staff at UNC Greensboro where the head coach is Wes Miller, and Wes Miller is rumored to be one of the guys that might be next in line for North Carolina when Roy Williams retires. So kind of an interesting thing to keep an eye on, Kyle, with Wes Miller and that staff. You know, if they make a run, do they get to a bigger school, or does he kind of maybe get an opportunity himself to run a program in the near future It'll be fun to see and watch his team and his progress.
Sure. Todd, before you get going, Bankhead was a part of that famed 1999 state title run at Walla Walla. And so, you know, a lot of connection to deep connection to the state of Washington. And so, yeah, I like both of those, Dan.
On the women's side, I mean, we'd be stupid not to at least mention the teams of two of the best girls basketball scorers the state's ever seen in Haley Van Lith at Louisville. They're a two seed. And we've talked about Talia Von Ulhofen leaving high school early, graduating early, enrolling mid-season, and really giving Oregon State a real shot in the arm. They're an eight seed. There was a time, I think, with that young team that it was going to be kind of iffy to see if they would get in the tournament, but she's really sort of sparked them with valuable minutes off the bench. But the biggest storyline I'm looking for is at Stanford, with three Washington products who have all won state championships. So they have that pedigree with them at Stanford as that Stanford team, one of the co-favorites of the whole NCAA tournament, has a real legitimate shot to go win one for Tara Vanderveer. And that's the Hull sisters, Lexi and Lacey Hull, and then Anna Wilson, as we all know, Russell Wilson's sister. She played at Bellevue, is a guard, a real defensive stopper on the perimeter. Again, I, as Dan could probably echo, you cannot understate championship pedigree. And all three of those young ladies have won state championships in Washington, the two Hull sisters being at Central Valley under Scorebook Live's, girls basketball guru, Freddie Recco. So it's going to be very interesting to see how they put that together. I know that's a very deep and balanced team that Stanford has kind of rolled through the Pac-12 this year. And, you know, with UConn not being UConn and Baylor and maybe not being Baylor, maybe coming back a little bit, it's there for the taking for Stanford. It would be nice to see those three young ladies hoisting the big gold ball at the end of all this.
Plenty of men's and women's connections in each tournament that tie back to Washington. I'll actually link both of those stories in the show notes if you want to give it a read. If not, you could just head to the site or the app. But we're going to take a quick break. Like I said, when we come back, we're joined by DJ Fryer. He's a multi-positional standout at Stellicum and an Arizona signee, so stick with us. I want to take a moment to tell you about our friends at Washington Federal. Washington Federal is a local bank and portfolio lender with more than 200 branches across 8 states, more than 32,000 fee-free ATMs, drive-up ATMs, 24/7 online and mobile banking, and Washington Federal is a proud sponsor of SB Live Sports and SB Live Washington. The folks at Washington Federal care deeply about high school sports and the communities that support them across the state of Washington and beyond. Head to wafdbank.com to learn how Washington Federal can help you meet your financial goals. That's wafdbank.com. Washington Federal, a neighbor you can count on. Welcome back to the SB Live Washington podcast. Andy Buehler here. Todd Millis is with me. The game of the year at the 2A level is this week. Stellicum Tumwater, a rematch of the 2A state championship. 6 p.m. Saturday, and joining us, Stellicum linebacker and now a wideout and an Arizona commit, DJ Fryer. DJ, how you doing? How you living?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing today?
Never better, man. It's sunny where I'm at, so I can't complain. Todd, how about you?
You call him a linebacker. See, I know he's a linebacker at heart, but I think the old Stellicum Sentinels are having them play a different defensive position as well this year. We can get into that later, though. And, by the way, I know you say 2A game of the year. I'd put this game right on par with Eastside Catholic O'Day. I think these two teams are pretty darn dynamic. So this is one of the truly state games of the year in any classification.
No, there's no question. I mean, as you – DJ, as you guys prepare for a game like this and one that's probably been on your mind for the better part of, you know, now a year and a half, do you feel a different buzz this week in practice?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's honestly around the whole team. Everyone's amped up. We're all really excited. We just can't wait to get out here and show what we can do, because last year they did get the best of us. They did prove that they were the number one team last year. But this year, I feel as our team and how the chemistry is built and how the energy we have brought this year, we have a chance to be able, being able to take it this year.
DJ, what was the feeling after the scrimmage? You guys had a controlled scrimmage here a few weeks ago with this same team when they had a team opt out. But what was the feeling after that scrimmage?
The feeling was pretty good. We felt comfortable in some things we did. We also had a whole lot of stuff we also had to work on as well still. But we all had a great feeling after that.
You guys are sitting here undefeated so far. You talked about the energy that you brought into this season. Coming off of a big win over a Tacoma powerhouse in Lincoln, who's, you know, a little bit younger this year, but, you know, still very, very talented. You guys beat them by 10 last Friday. What contributes to that energy and what allowed you guys to start so hot in a season where, you know, you had every reason, you know, with the pandemic, with the uncertainty around the season, to maybe come in and take a little bit to get going?
Honestly, I say it's all of our passion and love for the game. We also come together as a team. We boost each other up all the time. There's not a moment where if we're facing adversity, we'll fall apart. We keep each other together and we'll just fight through it the whole time.
DJ, I know another uncertainty piece was especially a lot of the offseason, especially late last year, was what Emeka was going to do. And a lot of that had to do with when was the season going to start. He eventually decided to enroll early and you move into his sort of his receiver position. What were some of the pieces of advice he gave you in not only learning a new position? You played running back last year, but his position and what he does, he moves all around that formation. He can play any of the three or four receiver spots. But what were some of the big pieces of advice he gave you?
Mainly just to be focused and do what I can to help other team. Honestly, he wasn't too big on like teaching me like what like certain things I needed to do. He was just more on like motivating me and helping me out just to like be able to come and take on that type of role.
I know it's not something you might have expected to step into this time last year or even, you know, going back to last season, but were you able to pick up on things just kind of through osmosis, just watching him do his thing over the last few years?
Oh yeah, I have picked up on a lot of stuff, and like he gets, he's the great player, and it's like hard to fill that spot, but it was cool to see what he's done. It was cool to see what he's done, and it's great to be able to coming back of him and be able to fill in that spot as well.
What was that like getting that challenge from coach to switch positions? How did you approach that? Did that excite you?
Oh yeah, it was really exciting. I just took it face on and just ran with it to see what to get the best outcome. Honestly.
How did they explain to you that they wanted to move you to a different position defensively? I mean, they just kind of shook up your world a little bit, DJ, for your senior year. I know eventually, you know, as you move to Arizona, it sounds like you're going to stay at linebacker, but for this particular season, you're going to play back. What was your reaction to that? What have been some of the challenges of moving back and playing safety?
It's been talked about throughout like off season and stuff like that. So when we actually made the move, it kind of just felt natural. Like it wasn't really a surprise. We just pretty much just made the move and had things go on from there.
I want to rewind a little bit, take a step back out of the this high school season and even high school football at large. Growing up, how did you get into football? Did you grow up playing all sports? Was there a moment or a stretch that showed you, you know, hey, I could have a future doing this? How did you land on football?
I say in first grade when I started playing flag football, I had tried to convince my dad to play tackle, but he didn't want me to play early. So then I had did that and I did basketball at the same time. But at that time, I didn't really have like a heart for basketball. And I was just like, no, I want to play football. I want to take this somewhere. And then second grade, I started playing tackle. And then since then, I've just been playing football.
When your dad said that he didn't want you to play tackle, was he thinking about your safety or the safety of the other kids?
Yeah, he was more thinking about my safety because I was pretty clumsy back then, and I was always getting myself hurt. So he was more concerned about me.
Well, at what point in your childhood and your youth football experience did you start to kind of develop and start to kind of put those tools together, the coordination to really realize that, you know, you had that potential?
I'd say about sixth grade, that's when I really like, that's when sports turned around and I started taking football way more serious than everything.
Was it a growth spurt or was it just a change in mentality? Was it a coach you had that kind of motivated you?
It was honestly a change in mentality because I kind of always was bigger than everyone, but I didn't really use my size until about sixth grade. And that's when I started using my size and just taking over everything.
You started your high school career at Washington playing for Mike. How hard was a transition? Was that you played basically more than half of your high school career at a different school? What was it like playing at Washington? And then how much different were things when you came to Steilacoom, learning a new system, learning new teammates, learning a new coaching staff?
I love playing at Washington. It was a great experience. They did a lot for me, I would say. And they did help a lot. But coming here, their mentality was a lot more grind, grind, grind. And I kind of fit in more to the system over here once I got here and like really was functioning with everybody. Cause everybody here, like they're grind, 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 but they also will help you out if you need the help that you need. So it's a family in both spots, but it's just a harder work ethic over here.
How long did it take you to realize that this is a pretty special team that was on a pretty special mission last year?
Not that long, honestly. After I couldn't play and I saw what they could do without me, I just knew there was something special.
It was just amazing following your guys' run last year, and obviously the deepest run in school history. And for anybody listening who hasn't gone back and seen the highlights of that game or didn't experience it in any way, I really encourage you to do so. I was not able to be there. I was covering other classification games and so bummed out. But really a great run. Was it something, you talk about that mentality and you talk about stepping in and realizing you were a part of something different. Did the leaders within the team and the core of the team, at what point did they realize and did you kind of see all the pieces coming together? When you showed up, did you think, okay, you know, it's special because we have the talent, or did you think it's special because, you know, we not only have the talent, but our group has realized something and has come together in a way?
Yeah, it was more of our group has realized something and we come together. Definitely a lot with the leaders last year. They played a big part into it. They kept us way more motivated than you could think. We had great times during practice, and the competition at practice was so high all the time. And I just loved it.
Who set that high bar in practice?
It would start with offense sometimes, but then sometimes our scout team defense would start it, and then it would get everybody amped up.
DJ, how are things different without Emeka this season?
I wouldn't say it's too much different, actually. Everybody's still grinding hard. Emeka brings like all the fame and stuff like that, but even like without that, we're still the same team. Honestly, in my honest opinion, we still can perform at a high level, and we still can make our names known just off of what we do naturally.
How often does he check in with you guys from Columbus? How much do you think you will hear from him this week? I'm sure he knows that this is the week playing Tumwater. I know that would have been a game that he would have stuck around for, but how much contact is he keeping with you guys? How much do you figure you're going to hear from him this week?
Probably almost every day. He's been keeping a good contact with us throughout this time. But this week we're probably gonna hear from him a lot.
Figure he'll be watching the feed on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm more than likely he will be.
Emeka Ebuka, obviously, who we're talking about, early enrolled at Ohio State. But speaking of college, DJ, you're headed to Arizona where you've signed. You committed, I believe, last summer. Is that right? On the 4th of July. really cool story behind your commitment. I won't get super into it, but if the listener, if you guys want to read up on it, Todd was there at wrote a story on it, and I'll link that in the show notes of this episode. But as you look forward to heading down there, how have you how has that new coaching staff kept in touch with you during this sort of, you know, shortened spring season?
Honestly, I can't wait to get down there. The new coaching staff, I love them. The contact has been great. They call you, check up on you anytime, and you just pretty much talk about anything you want. Honestly, they talk about like grades and how's the family going on and things of that sort. And we just pretty much just have a great conversation every time.
DJ, I think when I saw you on signing day, you had not been to Tucson yet. Have you been? Have you visited?
No, I'm still waiting on that. I'm still waiting on that trip.
So it's just all hearsay and what you see on video and stuff. When do you think you're going to be able to, are you going to be able to see it before you actually enroll or go down there for camp? Or are you going to kind of just go sight unseen?
I'm working on trying to go, but we're not 100% sure yet. It might just be once I get there, I'm there.
You know, part of this last, now it's surpassed a calendar year of the pandemic. One of the things Todd and I have really tried to do over the past year is tell the stories of, people in your position in the class above you who, were adversely affected. They're whether it's your senior year, whether it's, a part of your high school experience. And as you, I know, part of you is probably, really excited to go off to college, but as you reflect on this last year and just how weird it's been, how important was this football season in, completing your high school experience in this year and kind of, serving as sort of a light at the end of the tunnel?
I'd say this season was really important to me because it's my last run to go. And this season wasn't really main focus on like getting something out there. This was more of a season like come help the team be great and just continue something great that happened from last year.
I know one of the questions with everybody who was committed to a school, assigned to a school was, okay, are you going to early enroll since we don't know if there's a season? But it sounds like for you, like, you want, even though there wasn't a state championship to play for or something to, run back, obviously you guys still bring back a great team. You still have found plenty to play for. Was there any hesitation there and are you glad you stuck around?
I wasn't really hesitant. I'm actually more than happy I stuck around because we still get to do the things we wanted to do. And then we also get to still have a chance to play this week. It's our mini state championship game.
How are you doing with the shoulder? What take us through that? What happened? I know you said you were fine. You caught the 4 touchdowns, so you're not you're not too inhibited by it. But how's the shoulder feeling headed into the big game?
It feels actually a lot better. Throughout this last week, we were kind of hesitant on letting me even play this week, just due to the fact of just how it was handled. But as the week went on, it's gotten better. I've been rehabbing as much as I can and really taking care of it. But as of this week, I say probably most likely by Saturday, it'll be almost back to 100%, like 98.
Waking up the day after your game last weekend, could you feel it?
Oh, yeah, I did a little bit.
Yeah. Well before we let you go, like I said at the top, 6 p.m. Saturday, Steilacoom Tumwater, not only the 2A game of the year, but one of the top games of the year across the state. Give us a preview. What is Saturday going to look like? Is it going to be a firework fest like the state championship last year?
In my personal opinion, I feel like it will be. I feel like both teams are amazing at what they do. It's really going to come down to the heart and who ends up getting the hungriest at the end, because this is going to be a 48-minute fight, and it's going to be a dogfight the whole time.
Come on, give us a score. What's the score going to be?
I honestly cannot predict it. I don't even know.
All right, we'll leave that up to us, and then if you guys don't like it, you can pin it up on the bulletin board and throw darts at it. So, DJ, thank you so much for taking the time. Like I said, 6 p.m. Saturday, Stellicum Tumwater. DJ, we wish you the best of luck.
All right, thank you, guys. Thank you for having me.
Time for our new segment. It's called Past and Present. There are so many high school athletes across this state, past and present, doing great things on a weekly basis. And each one of us is going to share a current high school athlete in Washington that impressed us over the last week and one from the past. So we're going to start with you, Todd. Past and present, what's it going
to
be?
Well, Dan brought him up in the last segment. That's Ja'Cory McLaughlin. I did finally get a chance to sit down and watch them in their conference tournament championship game. And having watched him and covered him at Peninsula, he played point guard. My biggest thing with him coming out of high school was he a true point guard? He could play, he could handle the ball, obviously, but felt like he was better suited to maybe play off the ball as a secondary ball handler. But he's certainly improved. You can see the improvement in his overall game as a shooter. Things look very, you know, slow for him. I mean, he looks so relaxed and in control of everything. The way he can shoot, the way he sees the court, led that team against a really good Irvine team with another guy that we've covered, Colin Velp, Christian Velp's son, who's also extremely skilled. But congratulations to Ja'Cory, leading USC, you know, UCSB to the tournament where they'll play Creighton. That's my past player. My present player is a guy I covered Friday night. I know it's easy to sort of cherry pick the big names of the state, but it looked like Sam Heward in his first game of his senior year was playing 7-on-7 catch with his receivers. I mean, 7 touchdown passes, 495 passing yards, didn't play the majority of the fourth quarter. I think we're going to see this on replay for the 3 or 4 games that he will play in his senior season before enrolling early at the University of Washington.
And didn't hand off the ball once, Todd.
And he told me that. He made sure to tell me as he was going through the post-game, you know, kind of wave, I did not hand the ball off once, so everything that went to my running back was a pass. So he's certainly in tune to what the all-time passing mark that Brett Rypien holds. He knows exactly where he sits and how many yards he needs. And not that that's what fuels this kid, but I think it's a factor coming back for a senior year and playing with a team that has no hopes of playing for a state championship. So something to look forward to especially over the next couple of weeks when he gets closer and closer to that mark.
All right, Dan, your past and present.
You know, I think present or past. I'm drawing a blank on the girl's name. Sorry, for the Gonzaga women's team. She hit the game winner. What is it?
Kate Jill Townsend? Jill Townsend.
Jill Townsend. Yes. Yes. She's from Okanagan. You know, Gonzaga women's team struggled mightily in the WCC title game. And then, you know, they dug their heels in, they clawed away back. They found a way to be in a basketball game with a baseline out of bounds with, I believe it was like 0.6 seconds left. And they did, they ran a nice little set on the baseline. She got free. She stepped up with confidence after not having scored, I believe, in the whole game and knocked that shot down. That was pretty cool to see. And then I think present, you know, I followed some of the stories you guys have been writing on the football season. And, you know, after hearing Todd kind of explain Sam Heward and the fact that he didn't hand it off a single time, I got to go with him as well. That is amazing stat. I mean, you guys know I'm not the biggest follower of football, but to know that a quarterback doesn't hand the ball off one time. So essentially that means he's a decision maker every single time he touches the ball. That's a ridiculous stat. And that's a pretty cool thing to see, and wishing him the nothing but the best as the season finishes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My two, I'll start with past. It's the 1984 Greater Spokane League MVP and a graduate of Ferris High School. Let's go, Wayne Tinkle. Took an Oregon State team that it probably not his most talented team through the Pac-12 tournament, won on Saturday in a great game against Colorado, and the Beavs were picked to finish last in the Pac-12, and now they're dancing. So a big shout out to Wayne Tinkle and his entire family, who you could see whooping and hollering on the ESPN broadcast. For present, I'm going to go with Wenatchee do-it-all wideout, linebacker, quarterback, running back. J.J. Jelsing signed with Air Force. He had 205 yards on 25 carries in a loss to Eastmont last week. And after Wenatchee's all-state caliber quarterback Camden Sermon moved to Montana for a fall season, Coach Scott Devereaux took his most versatile player. He put him under center, and he said, hey, the Panthers will go as far as Jelsing takes us. And Jelsing's my pick, the way he's adjusted, the load he's assumed. So shout out to both of those for past and present. Second week of that segment. Let's keep it going. So thank you all for listening. If you're a first timer or haven't already, head to Apple Podcasts, look up the SB Live Washington podcast, hit subscribe, leave us a review while you're there, and download the SB Live Sports app. So for SB Live Washington, SB Live Sports, I'm Andy Bueller, Todd Millis, Dan Dickauer with me. We will talk to you next week. This podcast is brought to you by SB Live Washington and SB Live Sports, your national hub for high school sports news and information. Subscribe for free wherever you get podcasts. If you do it on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a rating and a review to help us best serve you, the listener. You can find our website at scorebooklive.com/Washington. There you'll see news, features, highlights, podcasts, and everything in the world of high school sports across this state. As always, a big shout out to our sponsor, Washington Federal. Thanks to Dan Dickow and Todd Millis for bringing the heat every week. This song you're hearing is by the band Woodrow. It's called So Far Away. It's written by James Schroeder, Carl Johnson, and my dad, Matt Bueller. I'm Andy Bueller. We'll be back next week.